swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 225. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. We're on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos there in the Play Tessie playlist. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Got a lot of good videos there. The Red Sox have swept the Yankees. They've won 5 in a row and 8 out of 10. And this is the streak we've been waiting for all season long, and the starters are going 6+, and you know, Cora's managing his butt off, and they're playing such good ball. Is all the stuff I would have said if they hadn't traded Rafael Devers hours after the game. So that's, I mean, that's the breaking news. That's what you're here to listen for. Is that the Red Sox? I literally cannot believe I'm saying the words as they exit my mouth. Every tweet I've typed, I cannot believe I've been typing it. Like, I'm at Father's Day with my family, like my family and my wife's family. We're all there. And like, we're just like standing around an island table. And I let out an audible shriek because I couldn't believe it. I thought it was like a fake Robert Murray account or something. Rafael Devers is traded. If you care about the return, Kyle Harrison, former 23rd overall prospect in baseball, Jordan Hicks going to come out of the pen. He's got a solid money owed, and he's not pitching well. James Tibbs, the Giants' first round pick from last year, and Jose Bayo, a rookie ball pitcher. But the return, I mean, we'll get into the return maybe at the end of the episode. Like, this is going to be all about Rafael Devers, what trading him means, what this organization is doing here, and what led up to it, and who's to blame for how this situation went down. There are so many moving parts. We've been talking about the Devers drama all year. When people wanted to downplay the drama and say that it was a nothing burger, a non-story, like, we continue to talk about it because we knew that wasn't the case. It was a story. It was worthy of talking about these issues. And it clearly was never resolved. And the resolution is Rafael Devers is never going to play a game for the Boston Red Sox again. He's traded to the Giants, hit a home run in his final game with the Red Sox against the Yankees. Kind of a fitting end if you think about it, but sad in a way. In more than a way, just, you know, we've been hard on him on this podcast. We've wanted him, or at least Sammy and I. Pat, I know you were a little bit more in Devers' defense, but Sammy and I have said Devers needs to be at least willing to take reps at first base and play the position. But that doesn't mean that we don't love the guy, love the player, understand that he's the best player on the team, and trading the best player on your team for basically minor leaguers when you're coming off winning 8 out of 10, when you're coming off winning 5 in a row, it's something that, to be honest with you, I can't fathom is happening.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where it feels like it's not real. It feels like how could something like this actually happen to the Red Sox? You trade your franchise player, and the biggest piece in the return is a guy who's currently in AAA, who just got optioned to Worcester few minutes before we started recording. So a disaster in every sense of the word. The Red Sox completely mismanaged the situation more than I had initially thought. Devers was complete. I mean, now I think it's safe to say he was a complete diva this whole time. Like, how could you not blame both sides? And I think one piece of information that keeps going back and forth is, did Devers request the trade? I think if he did request the trade, then I'll stick with that, the diva take. If not, if he didn't request the trade, then a little less so. I think it's a little less damning for Devers, but there's so much blame to go around. I don't think there's one side that was the most wrong. Everyone was wrong here. I said, the Red Sox told Devers he was going to be the third baseman. They told him then that he was going to be the DH after they signed Bregman. Then Costas goes down. They want him to play first base. And my initial reaction was, yeah, come on, Rafael Devers, you make $300 million. You got to be willing to play first base when your teammate goes down with an injury. It's all about helping the team. And then, the Red Sox, John Henry goes out to Kansas City, speaks with him, and I figured, okay, it's over. You know, Devers kind of acted up. The Red Sox could have handled it better. Now it's in the past. And then today, Sunday, June 15th, it all comes boiling back, and now Devers is traded to the San Francisco Giants for a whole lot of what-ifs. When you knew who Devers was as a player, now you knows what you got. Your offense just got a lot worse, and I think it's safe to say that every fringe Red Sox fan, maybe we'll see you next year. Maybe not.
Yeah, Gorda, you kind of alluded to it, but I got the notification from Robert Murray, and it was just vague enough where I thought for sure he got hacked.
Hacked for sure.
Because it said, breaking Rafael Devers to the Giants. And nothing else, no passing, no Rosenthal, no Olney. So I just sat there with bated breath, hoping that there was going to be some form of a follow-up. And then parts of the package started trickling in. And then the passing bomb hit. And it was just kind of an avalanche of shit from there. And I'm going to kind of reserve, not that I think there's, like Sammy said, there's no one guy you can say this is his fault. I, as of right now, with the information that I've seen, based on what Olney has said and Passan has said, I am kind of subscribing to the fact that he requested a trade. Because literally as we jumped on, Olney on Sunday Night Baseball said Devers had reached an impasse with the Red Sox, getting text messages from executives. Other teams have been talking with the Red Sox. They basically are saying that after Devers did not respond following John Henry getting on a plane and going out to Kansas City, and he didn't take ground balls after that meeting, the perception of other teams was, yeah, he's gone. Red Sox are going to move him when he didn't respond to the owner who was paying him that contract. You basically had Passan say that he told them, I'm not playing first. I want out. If that's the case, and even if it's not, to be honest, the whole situation, I think it's fair to label Rafael Devers a diva. If the only way to get out of this circumstance was trade him, it's understandable, I guess. But the return is like what the kicker is. Like, this is a team that has just shown you over the past 10 days that they can be a playoff team. People are starting to buy in. The Fenway crowds this weekend were as bought into a team that I have seen probably since 2021. And it just all kind of comes toppling down because you have this inexcusable lack of communication between the front office and ownership and the star player. You have stubbornness on Rafael's side for not doing what's best. I would imagine you probably have some divisiveness in the clubhouse because of his decisions to not play first base. I'll be really curious to see what the teammates say whenever media availability is, because I'm sure there's going to be like the normal, you know, great player will be missed, blah, 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 blah. But there's going to be some like subliminal messages in a lot of those media availabilities. And I'll be curious to see kind of not where allegiances lie, but how guys kind of truly feel about the trade. But yeah, today absolutely fucking sucks.
Well, Pat, they're going to hate it because the team is objectively worse. Like, yeah. You can say what you will about the return they got. And like Kyle Harrison, one of the former, you know, as recently as a year ago, one of the top prospects in the sport, one of the top pitching prospects in the sport. Like,
number one left-handed pitching prospect. He was, so, I'm not excited about it, but he was really good.
But like, I'm going to try to paint the picture as best because the way I see it, the most like, cause like there's mixed reports about whether Devers did request a trade, didn't request a trade, asked out, didn't ask out, whatever. It kind of feels like, and this was Mike DePortes who put it out there and he reported it. So it's like, this is what he's reporting has happened. And it kind of feels about right. He said something along the lines of, yeah, Devers went, they had a conversation and he said, you know, I like playing here. You know, I've been here my whole career, but if you guys don't want me, then trade me. So it's not like a trade demand, but it's like a, hey, like if this isn't going to work, then trade me. And I think it's an interesting point because they had 8.5 years left in this marriage. And it's why I'm not necessarily going to label Rafael Devers a diva, though I think he was severely wrong in this case, and as is everyone, and that you can look at it from four different facets. Devers, I think, bungled this whole thing. I think Cora bungled the whole thing. I think Brezel really bungled the whole thing. And I think with this trade, ownership bungled the whole thing. There's four facets right there. But the truth of the matter is, was this a marriage that was going to work for 8.5 more years? Probably not. And you had the Pete Abe quote, which was basically, it was from the Red Sox. It was, they gave him a $313.5 million contract, and they think that that comes with responsibilities, which I agree with. And he didn't live up to those responsibilities, which I agree with. But their solution was to trade him. And to me, got a once, and I shouldn't say a once in a generation talent, but it's like you don't bring up hitters through your system that are as good as Rafael Devers every now and then. Like those guys come around in your own organization maybe once in 10 years. And their solution was to trade him and to not have anything coming back to help the op. And like, it feels stupid to even talk this year right now when they're making a trade like this that just so obviously shoots them in the foot. Like, they've won 8 out of 10 games. They just swept the New York Yankees, and we're not even going to mention a word of it. Like, Carlos Narvaez had the Aaron Judge at bat against Crochet was the at bat of the year across the sport. Carlos Narvaez with an awesome walk off, the starting pitching with an 0.42 ERA against the Yankees in a sweep. That was a feel good moment. Everyone saying they're back, and we're not even going to talk about it because you traded the franchise player, and it feels so eerily, even though the situations are so different, it just feels so eerily similar to the Mookie situation. But the reason I'll argue that, and like, more information is going to come out, so like, we'll see if this takes stands. But right now, I'd argue that it's even worse, because with Mookie, that's an expiring contract at the end of that following year, and that was a team that didn't make the playoffs. So you could make the argument that trading him maybe was an okay call. I wouldn't. There were people at the time that did, but
no, Devers, you can't make that argument.
I'm talking about at the time, and there were people that did, not me. I never liked it, but people made the argument. Right now, in this moment, Devers is under contract for 8.5 more years. You've got a superstar under contract for the rest of his prime, and you traded him. And there is no defense of that for me, and I understand any fans who thought about buying back in when they saw that they signed Alex Bregman, traded for Crochet, extended Garrett Crochet, have got all these kids coming up. They trade Rafael Devers. I don't blame you if you say, see you the fuck later. Like, I'm serious. Like, How can you trust anyone in the organization right now with how the situation was handled and how they resolved it in the end?
Dude, and they keep telling you to be patient, and they keep telling you like, oh, we got all these kids coming up, and now like, oh, we don't want to bring up the kids too early because we don't want to put pressure on them. Now all the pressure's on them. All the pressure's on the young guys. Like, it's so mismanaged. And I want to go back. When we opened, I called Devers a diva. And, you know, fair. Yeah, I think that's fair to call him a bit of a diva. But you know who else was a diva for years? Manny Ramirez, and they stuck with him for a long time. Sure, eventually he got traded, but they stuck with him through a lot of crap. And, you know, John Henry and co, they kind of...
Worse crap too, buddy. Worse crap.
Worse. Yes, worse. Undeniably worse crap than what Rafi was kind of just, you know, a little whiny and complaining, and it rubbed me the wrong way personally. But at the end of the day, not in a million years would I ever want Rafael Devers traded. But with Manny, it was worse, and they stuck with him for a long time. And again, like I said, eventually he was traded. But they won World Series with him, and they had so many good moments with Manny while this stuff was going on, and they stuck with him. You don't have to trade Devers just because there's a little beef between the front office and the player. These things happen in sports, especially with big-name players. It happens all the time. You don't have
teams,
to trade him.
And Sammy, teams turn down trade requests, too. If he did request a trade, teams say no sometimes.
Right, they do. Right. You don't have to – and I hope when we hear – Sam Kennedy talk, who I love to hear talk. As you guys know, I love hearing him talk. I hope they don't frame this as like, we had no other choice, because that's crap. That's complete crap. The Red Sox absolutely had a choice. Rafael Devers, again, I don't like the way he acted. I will stand by that till the day I die. I don't like the way he handled it. I thought he was a little bit selfish. I thought it was diva-ish. I didn't like that. But he's a great player. You don't just trade a great player like that because you don't like their attitude, especially for like, you know, I don't even want to talk about the return. Honestly, I feel like a fool. I feel like a loser talking about the return. As if, yeah. It feels not even relevant. It really doesn't even feel relevant right now.
I agree.
The return for Rafael Devers does not even feel relevant to talk about right now. And I know a lot of people who listen to Play Tessie, they like when I go on my angry rants and everything. But like I said to you guys earlier, I don't have a rant in me. I have nothing left. This just absolutely crushed the entire vibe of the season. I have zero excitement staying up this week for the West Coast trip. Nothing about it excites me. I don't blame any Red Sox fan for skipping those games. I don't blame people for not wanting to go to Fenway anymore. How could you possibly sell a fringe fan on this team right now? How could you use the prospect argument again? Like, hey, there's a lot of young guys. In a few years, they'll be good. It's so frustrating, man. This team was cooking. They just swept the Yankees, and I think it's safe to say none of us give a shit right now. They swept the Yankees, and we do not care about that. It sucks. Feels bad.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot to get the Red Sox fan base to not give a flying fuck about sweeping the Yankees. Oh, my God.
Flying fuck is a really underrated term. Flying fuck.
One thing, and this is not, believe me, no means justifying trading Rafael Devers. When Jeff Passan went on Sunday Night Baseball today, earlier as we record, he had said that around the league, once Rafi transitioned to DH, his contract was deemed underwater. It was a bad contract in baseball. I don't give a fuck because
that's the right take, Pat.
He is what the Red Sox paid him to be. You were never paying him to be in the field. You were paying him for his bat. And don't get me wrong. Like, if again, I will like default to, if you truly 100% had to move him, had to, as in like he will not play if he is not traded, had to move him, getting all of that money off the books serves you, like, it's huge in the long run. With Roman Marcelo, all those guys, free agents, like whatever. The money will go, I hope the money is then just kind of kicked back into the team for bigger upgrades. That being said,
can't trust
you. You cannot trust them. They've lost all benefit of the doubt. And the biggest kicker for me, honestly, right now, it's not, it is trading Rafael Devers, but it is seemingly just punting on this year. There was no part of the return where it helped you in any way, shape, or form meaningfully to build off the momentum you've set for the last 2 weeks.
Unless you're going to flip stuff like that. This is the conversation. Like, Pat, remember we sat here on this podcast, like not even 2 weeks ago, talking about the prospect of trading Jaron Duran to the Padres for prospects. And the discussion then was, can you take a Jaron Duran off this team? And my argument was, like, no, like you can't trade a guy who's that important to your team in the season. Like, well, we can talk in the off season. And you had Sammy say, well, you can trade him for the prospects, and then you flip the prospects in the off season for the number two starter that you want. And I believe Hunter Brown was your guy, Sammy. But like, this is just a worse version of that, because like Jaron Duran to Roman Anthony, like I don't think you can bank on that being a lateral move or an upgrade or even a slight downgrade. In year one, we've seen prospects come up and struggle. But Jaron Duran this year has not been the Jaron Duran of last year, and I don't think any of us expected him to be that from this point moving forward to the end of the year. With Devers, he's your best hitter. You expect him to be your best hitter for the remainder of the year. And to lose that from your lineup by choice – and not get anything back to help your big league team, save for Jordan Hicks and his 6+ ERA. Not that guy doesn't have potentially throws 100 miles an hour, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Again, like I'm not trading my best hitter for like this is year one of the window. And as Pat said, you're kind of punting on it because this offense already was for the majority of this year struggling. And to lose Rafael Devers, even when Alex Bregman comes back, man, like, it's just not good enough. And I know, like, if they stay in the hunt, they could acquire something at the deadline. You know, the DH spot is kind of open, especially if you trade an outfielder at the same time. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, we can talk about
that. You can't do anything. You can't do anything this year that's going to replace Devers. The only thing you could do, like, The only thing you could do that would make me like come back to feeling good is if you package like maybe like one of the big three and Kyle Harrison for like Fernando Tatis Jr. But I don't think the fucking Padres are going to do that shit.
No, because teams don't trade their best fucking player in the middle of a season that they're trying to win.
What?
What the hell, man?
To me. Fuck.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy?
Everything.
We're gonna someone is gonna ask a 30-year-old Roman Anthony and like a 31-year-old or 32-year-old Marcelo Meyer what it was like playing with Devers for a fucking week. That is gonna be a thing like 10 years from now. Is those guys are gonna remember Roman's gonna remember his first week in the big leagues and how he had to learn the fucking truths of this sport and the business of this sport as the team shipped off its best player with 8.5 years remaining on his salary. That's crazy.
Dude, you know who's the biggest loser in all of this?
Us.
Netflix for going last year instead of this year. Whoops.
Yeah, I think in like, Gordo, you just said it, but there's nothing really like at the deadline that they can do where I'm going to get to the point where I'm as optimistic as I was after the final out of today's game. Like, they can get the deadline. They can go out. They can get the best arm out there. They can trade for Josh Naylor. Like, they could make two or three, like, very good moves and still, you know, look like a wild card team. But I have so much less faith in the team. And that is not a knock on anyone on the roster. Like, all of the kids are great. I think they're all going to be phenomenal players. Bregman will be back. Crochet's been phenomenal. Doesn't even do it justice. But not having your veteran, not having your face of the franchise player, not having the only true thump in the lineup, nothing they can do for the rest of this season will have me bought entirely back in. And they don't deserve the they do not have the benefit of the doubt anymore. They better have a damn good offseason. That's all I will say.
Well, the offseason, like, Alex Bregman in all likelihood is going to opt out in the offseason.
Yeah.
How
now,
can you have
now any, I agree.
Like, first off, if you're Bregman, you're play like first he's going to have half a seat. Like this injury is going to be such a blip in the radar. Like, and anyone who was hoping that this injury, well, at least, you know, he probably won't opt out now. Like, no, that's out the window. He's coming back really fast. If he plays well, he's going to opt out. And it'll be interesting to see, because if you're Alex Bregman, do you still believe that this ownership is committed to winning? And if the answer is yes, is this ownership going to be willing to pay Alex Bregman the money needed to keep him here? After what we've seen with this group for the last several years, trading Mookie Betts, letting Xander Bogaerts go, now trading Rafael Devers, like they just the majority of the data tells you that you shouldn't count on it. And for hitters in their 30s, I mean, they weren't willing to pay Alex Bregman a long-term deal last offseason, and he was a year younger last offseason. Granted, he's obviously going to be coming off a better year, but paying these guys in their 30s and like with this Devers trade, I mean, it just feels like they're so skittish about these long-term salaries. I don't know how you can have faith that they're going to bring him back. And let's be honest with ourselves here. You now have to replace Devers and Bregman next year. And even if you bring Bregman back, like, you have to figure out a way to replace Devers, because the long-term goals with this team, the long-term roster, was supposed to include all of this. Like, it was not supposed to just be the kids. It's the kids being added to what's already there. Devers is locked up long-term, and he's got a swing and a skill set that you think is going to age well. Well, that, all that is out the window. It's just hard because, like, I feel worse about the usually when a team makes a sell trade and gets young talent for it and frees up money, you feel worse about the present but better about the future. But I feel worse about both because of what this says about the organization right now.
Yeah, I mean, how could you have faith in ownership or Craig Breslow? I mean, Craig Breslow, I mean, I don't want to say he should be fired, but like, has anyone...
Who drove the move? Who do you think drove the move? Do you think ownership drove it, or do you think Breslow drove it? I actually don't know. I'm having a hard time figuring out the answer myself.
That's why I don't want to like drop the hammer on anyone verbally, because like, if ownership told Craig Breslow, get this guy out of here, then how, you can't really be mad at Craig Breslow. He's got no leverage. He's and they're probably saying, like, get the money out of here too. So, like, he got Kyle Harrison. Like, this pains me to say, but if that's what happened and they force it on him, then that's not a bad return. And,
but,
and I'm not mad
but,
at Craig.
Sammy, but Chaim Bloom was forced to trade Mookie Betts, and his entire tenure, even though ownership forced it on him, his entire tenure was defined by that trade that he was forced to make. And it's going to be the same thing with Breslow, regardless of whether it was his call or not to trade him.
Right. But that's, but I would always say that's unfair to do to Chaim. He got, you know, strong arm into it. I'm not saying the same thing for Craig. I'm saying there's a chance that's what happened. If Craig, you know, saying it out loud kind of doesn't make sense. Why would Craig Breslow do this? Like, this makes the team much worse unless he had crazy financial constraints that we don't know. And I don't know. I don't know. It's tough. If it was Devers asking for his way out, then he's a diva. And, like, I don't like that he did that. And they shouldn't have, you know, approved his request, because he was playing well, whether he was happy or not. You're making $300 million. Boo hoo. Sorry, you're a little upset with your situation. I don't care. Keep the guy. So if I had to guess, though, I would blame it on ownership.
I feel like this all went down in Kansas City. Like, John Henry flies out to Kansas City. And the conversation, instead of it resulting in, oh, wow, the owner showed up and damn, they mean business. Okay, like, I got to do this. You know, I'm being paid a lot of money and I got to go play the field. Instead of that being the end result of the conversation leads to nothing. And I'm sure that pissed John Henry off royally. And I'm sure it's why we didn't hear jack shit about what went on there, because I bet it pushed us more in the direction of this guy's going to get traded than this guy's going to play the field. And, you know, I pushed back on a lot of people who said Devers should be traded or could be traded. I thought there was no chance that he would get traded.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. Anyone who wanted Devers, this might be harsh. Anyone who wanted Devers traded or thought it would be good for the Red Sox to trade Devers is not worth listening to. Do not listen to that person when they talk to you about baseball.
Too.
It's insane. Dude, I was so mad. I was so mad at Rafael Devers when that whole thing went down. Not because I wanted him to play first base, because I wanted him to be open to it like a good teammate would be. I said a lot of harsh things about Rafael Devers on this podcast, on social media, a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of pushback for it. Fair. Never in a million years would any of us think that trading him is remotely good for the team now or in the future. That is one of the best bats in the world. And yes, he has his flaws. It's just insane to me. Like, this set the Red Sox back so far, barring some insane follow-up move that we don't see coming. But Gordo, like you said, guys like Tatis, in the middle of the season, when the team is winning and trying to win ball games, a concept which has become foreign to us here in Boston in recent years, they don't trade guys like that. But the Red Sox do. The big bad Red, Fenway experience, will trade our best player in the middle of the season. It's insane to me. It's sickening. And again, I don't blame anyone for being out on this team and being like, see you next year. I'll get ready for football. Who were we talking about last week? The Patriots?
Efton Chisholm.
Go watch Efton Chisholm. There you go. I don't blame you one bit. Enjoy. I hope he's good. Wes Welker 2.0.
Sammy, you said you didn't have a good rant in you today. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought that was pretty good. Pat, you got
I did get riled up.
So, I'm not defending the move. This is a genuine question. If John Henry flew down to Kansas City and said, Rafi, we gave you $313 million to be our franchise player, to be the guy who does what's best for the team, to be a leader. That is why we gave you this money. We need you to play first. And Rafi said, you do not respect me?
No, no.
Can you truly blame John Henry for wanting to trade him? I would say no. And I'm not defending the move. But I can absolutely see them giving that. They gave this guy the most money they've ever given anybody in the 20 plus years they've owned the franchise. To be the guy, be the face of the team, be the guy who does what is best for the team. And he basically says, go fuck yourself.
Pat, it's an interesting question. And you're basically explaining their point of view here. What my response to that is going to be is, I don't blame you, but just do it in the offseason so you give your team just a chance, or if you're out of it at the deadline, you do it at the deadline. You don't do it when your team is playing their best baseball of the year and finally is back in the race and has a chance to compete. You don't do it then. But what they'll tell you then is, Pat, you referenced what Jeff Passan said, that executives around the league viewed this as an underwater contract. If you have an offer that has a guy who was viewed as the top left-handed pitching prospect in baseball a year ago, you're getting the Giants' first-round pick. You're getting Jordan Hicks, who our guy Bradfoe has on good authority. The Red Sox thought they had agreed to a deal with him. They liked Jordan Hicks a couple of years ago.
Jordan Hicks.
Like, if you're the Red Sox and you can get that talent for a guy that's contract is seen as underwater, you don't know that that offer is going to be there in the offseason. And you don't know that this team is good enough to compete. They've had a 10-game stretch. So you make that deal now when you know you can. That is what they will tell you. That is what they will tell you. If you want the Red Sox point of view, Pat, you nailed it right there. Like that is it. And it's up to you as the fan if you want to accept that. Because from a fan standpoint and a business standpoint, it's two different. It's incredibly different because the fan is not going to be on the hook for $250 million if that deal's not there in the offseason. If Rafael Devers, if that relationship sours even more and his reputation around the league takes a hit because of it, maybe his production goes down and now he's seen as a DH with like an 870 OPS for the season, which with 8 years left on the deal, maybe that is an underwater contract. You can't get that deal. If you've got $250 million coming out of your pocket, that's a little bit different than us who just really like to see Rafael Devers hit homers against the Yankees. That said, if you're going to do that, it's up to you to reinvest the money, to reinvest the prospect capital, to reinvest. Like they have a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of pitching depth. They have a lot of mid to back end of the rotation potential pitching depth. They've got a lot of things they can move. They've got a lot of money to play with now. If they start to struggle, they can get under the tax this year if they want to. I'm sure they would love that.
Yeah.
The ownership, like this ownership group and just this front office and everyone, there's just this huge smear on them. And it's going to take something big, bold, and grand to even get people to consider coming back. Like when you traded Mookie, it took the offseason that was signing Alex Bregman to $40 million a year, trading for Garrett Crochet, extending Garrett Crochet, signing Walker Buehler, signing Aroldis Chapman. And like that's what it took to get fans to even think about coming back on board. And now you've just opened yourself up to needing to do something grand like that once again. Otherwise, man, like
I still don't think people will come back. I don't think people are coming back until like they clinch a playoff spot or they're like
that's gonna have
very
to come
close. Back. I don't think people I don't think people care about the Red Sox anymore. Hate to say it. I don't think people care about the Boston Red Sox, and it sucks because people were just starting to care again. And I think that the second the Patriots season starts, you will not be hearing about the Red Sox from our local media. You're not gonna hear about them.
Win or lose, dude, because like let's be real here. We've seen it before. Like if this team rallies around the kids. We saw the vibe at Fenway Park change when Roman Anthony came up. We saw the Nesson rating spike when Roman Anthony came up. If they win,
yeah. Okay, here's a question. If they sneak in and they get the last wild card spot, what do you think will do better ratings? The wild card game, like the first wild card game, or like a regular Patriots game?
Patriots game.
Yeah. That never would have happened years ago, post 2004.
I mean, I just
sucks. Yeah, I don't, they did this to themselves, man. It sucks. I hate saying these negative things about the Red Sox, but I'm just trying to be real. Like, how could you convince anybody to care about this team right now? They just trade away. It's like we were just having this conversation the other day, Gordo, when we were at Fenway. We saw Rays fans. One had a Zach Eflin jersey. The other one had some other jersey, and we were like,
"I did this to us." Holy shit. This is my fault.
We were like, who would you even buy? Like, which player would you even buy if you're a Rays fan? Because you know they're going to trade that player away. Would you feel comfortable buying a Roman Anthony jersey right now, knowing that, like, yeah, sure, he's under contract. He's on a rookie deal. But what if they could get three really good prospects for him? You don't know. Like, nothing's out the window. And a few weeks ago, I would have said, that's insane. They're not going to move X, Y, and Z for... Now I don't know, man. I have no faith, no trust. And I feel awful for these young guys on the team because we know them personally at this point. Like Marcelo, we know pretty well. Dobbins, like these are good kids, good ball players. And the front office is just putting them in such a shit spot right now. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the fans. The only person who's benefiting this from this is fucking John Henry, saving some money. Congratulations, friggin' Lurch. Congrats on your money.
So for better or for worse, this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of moves. So as of right now, this is just like me spitballing. As far as obviously the focus is this year, because this team, as of right now, is in a wild card spot. Will that shake out like that at the end of the year? Who knows? I doubt it. Anyways, next year, the rotation/rotation options are Garrett Crochet, Brian Bayo, Tanner Houck, Patrick Sandoval, Kyle Harrison, Richard Fitz, Hunter Dobbins. That is an ace and about 6, 4, or 5 starters. The lineup, pending Bregman opting out, Duran in center, Yoshida, Marcelo, Roman Anthony, Narvaez, Abreu, Story, who knows at first base, Campbell. So at that point, you have four outfielders
in that.
Yoshida.
Yoshida's so that's why Rafael was in it.
Yeah. Okay. So then you now have four outfielders, which is still an issue.
There's so much more to come. Like, that's not even going to be close.
Yeah, and you have no proven talent pretty much anywhere through that lineup if Bregman is gone. You have no number two starter. It's on paper right now. It is just mid outside of Garrett Crochet. It is average to below average players at every single position.
Pat, can I give you some bad news and then some good news and then some more bad news?
Sure.
The bad news is the Red Sox are not in a playoff spot anymore because the Mariners won their game later in the afternoon.
Yes,
so
yes.
They're now a half game behind the Mariners. That's the bad news. The good news is they're about to play the Mariners, so they could take that spot right from them. But the bad news, the other bad news is that they have to do that without Devers.
Yep.
So they may not be able to hit Logan Gilbert, who they're facing if you're listening on drop day. Logan Gilbert and then Brian Wu, who's also really good, and then Luis Castillo, who is also really good. That's what they should do, though. Like, Luis Castillo kind of jogs my mind a little bit. You've got all this free money now. Like, take on a contract for someone that a team maybe wants to offload for one reason or another. Other owners want to save money, too. Like, I don't know if Luis Castillo is that guy, but I'm just saying, like, a contract like that, or even for a DH, like, There's a lot of flexibility for what you can add to this team if they're competitive. It's just going to be like, can they keep their head above water? And I mean, this lineup is going to have, like, I just remember Lou and OB talking on the broadcast about, like, is putting Devers in the field worth the 5% chance that he gets hurt and now you don't have him in the lineup for any period of time? And now they're going to have to cover what, 3 weeks minimum without Devers and Bregman in the lineup? Like, how the hell are they about to get through this West? It's on the West Coast too. You're dealing with all kinds of jet lag, whatever. You know, teams struggle out West sometimes, and you're doing that without Bregman and Devers in the lineup. The team has this, like, we thought the Devers stuff was a distraction before. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's sure as shit a distraction right now. I wonder what that plane ride was like. Devers on the plane, gets off the plane. They all see it happen in front of their faces. How the, oh my God. Joe?
Well, I think kind of what you were saying earlier is we don't know how the players were feeling. If the majority of them were going against Devers, being like, why don't you just play in the field? If even half of that clubhouse was feeling that way, they might play better. I know you can't.
Joe, they didn't want to trade.
No, you can't take away, or you can't replace the bat. I'm saying,
I wanted him to play the field badly. I think it is an abomination that they traded him. I think that's what that clubhouse, anyone who wanted him in the field in that clubhouse, I think they're going to feel just how I feel right now.
No, I agree. I agree. Like, the big issue with this trade is the timing of it. Like, you either do it in the offseason or you do it at the deadline when you're out of it. Like, I think, Gordo, you were saying, but I'm just saying that if there were players who are on the side of why doesn't Devers just go out and play the field, They might, I'm not going to say they play inspired, but maybe the clubhouse gets looser. I don't know. That's just an argument you could make.
I think this clubhouse is going to tighten up. You trade your best player, Joe. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, some of these guys have a little bit of extra runway. Like now, like Roman Anthony doesn't have to be looking over his shoulder. I'm sure Jaren Duran is maybe going to feel a little bit better about his chances of staying in Boston. Like, they're not going
to
trade Rafi.
Why would he want to stay in Boston, though? Why would he want to stay here? Why would
I'm just saying, like, getting traded and shipped across the country, like, that's a, like, even if you're upset with the team, like, that is, that being able to happen at any moment has got to be stressful. And, like, if you're Jaren Duran, you got to think, okay, like, at least till the offseason, they're not about to fucking do this.
Oh, I thought you meant Jaren Duran feels good, like, he's not going to get traded. I mean, if I'm, like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think they're going
to. Yeah, you're right. Like, if he's from California, like, maybe he would want to go to San Diego. I'm just saying, like, and, like, maybe Rafaela, if he was ever afraid about losing playing time or something, like, if Christian Campbell was worried about getting optioned, like, all, like, there's, because the DH spot opens up, like, now you can rotate the outfielders in the DH spot. Rafaela doesn't have to go to the infield. Campbell's not at risk of getting optioned anymore. Like, some of these guys do have a little bit of extra wiggle room. That's the argument I would hear for, like, if you think guys would be looser. But to me, I think there's just a lot of guys in that clubhouse that are just going to, you know, especially the ones who have been here for a while.
Don't you think they're on edge? I think they're on edge more than anything.
Like, I agree.
I could be next.
Pat?
The Red Sox just released a thank you, Rafael Devers video, and it is 30 seconds.
Well, to be fair, this probably caught them royally off guard too. But then again, they did that with Xander too. The Xander one was short as shit too. So yeah, I don't know, man.
Ugh, did you see the Red Sox just posted the welcome to Boston for Kyle Harrison?
Yep.
I feel bad for the admins. These are probably like generally the people who are in charge of social media teams for like big organizations like this aren't the people who are like doing the actual posts. They're kind of like scheduling it and calling the shots. So it's probably like a 19-year-old intern who has to post all this shit and then gets absolutely cooked by thousands of people every time.
You know who I feel for? I feel
Kyle Harrison.
No, yes, I do. But I feel for fucking Jordan Hicks because he used the Red Sox like a fucking tool to get the Giants offer and get all this money to go out to California. And now he's got to come all the way back to Boston, probably pitch in relief when he wanted to be a starter. Oh, and he has to walk into this situation where he's going to be the only guy from this trade walking into a big league clubhouse that wants no part of him. And you're right, Sammy, Kyle Harrison too, who now has to be the face of the trade. And figure out, he already was struggling. Have to figure out how to become the guy that everyone thought he could be with all of this added pressure and scrutiny.
I think he's got no shot, but he is like everything he does, everything Kyle Harrison does. And I feel bad for this kid because this is a kid who, like I said at the beginning of the show, he was the number one left-handed pitching prospect in the world last year. He just graduated prospect status. He was a great prospect.
Yep.
And everything he does as a Red Sox is going to be connected to the Rafael Devers trade. He will never, ever in his life be able to escape this trade unless he's traded elsewhere or, you know, signs elsewhere. As long as he's with the Red Sox, he will everything he does, let me repeat, everything he does is going to be connected and compared with how Rafael Devers is doing. Is it worth it? He's the big piece in the trade. Is it worth it? Alex Verdugo was the number one prospect for the Dodgers. Was it worth trading Mookie Betts for him? Well, Verdugo sucked. Hopefully Kyle Harrison has a little bit better luck, but so many young players I feel bad for this spot. The only bright spot, and Gordo, you mentioned this, is maybe now like Christian Campbell has less to worry about getting demoted, but that's
such a, yeah.
Small but beans like, compared to the big picture.
If you disagree with what Sammy just said, I don't know if anyone's going to disagree with you, Sammy, but if you do, just look to Connor Wong, who's the last remaining piece of the Mookie Betts trade. Was the smallest piece of that trade when it happened, yet he still gets talked about as always the last piece of the Mookie trade. So this is all we have. Like, granted, even though they traded Verdugo for two guys that have helped this team, but yeah, like all the guys that are in this trade, it's going to be, I mean, the Rafael Devers trade, it's history repeating itself. Like, that expression has never been more true. Oh my God. Look what we have here.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Radfo. Oh, scared me. I thought we had like more bad news.
No, we don't. Well, no, this is good news. Bradfo is here. Rob, I want to give you the floor here. I know you've been on radio, so I know you've been talking, but just lay it all out there. Like, what is, just tell us what's what.
First of all, where are we at? What? Oh, 45 minutes in. I appreciate you having me on. I'm just going to continue. I'm going all the way till my flight takes off in Seattle for Seattle, which, by the way, I have a middle seat to Seattle. Oh. And it was going to cost me $100 to get a window seat for an early morning flight, which I always do. I don't care how much it costs. I'm paying the $100.
I support that. It's a long flight.
This is going to be a late night, which is good. So 2 hours on the radio, got a sense of a million calls of where people were at. We obviously put up a poll, and you know, it was 60-30 basically. People more upset over the trade instead of good riddance. You know, talking through it, guys, and I'm sure you guys have done an excellent job, is just so fascinating. The whole thing is so fascinating. And I don't even know where to begin. I think that ultimately what the reaction, probably your guys' reaction too right now, is that you have the high of highs of the season. You are literally the high of highs of the season. And then an hour or whatever later, a couple hours later, you get the rug pulled out from you where you trade this, but it was the guys that you got back. This is not even close to the Doug Minkiewicz or Orlando Cabrera haul. It's really not close to the Mookie Betts haul. Like, this is some guys you hope for the best for. I mean, probably to me, the most intriguing guy is a guy in single A, Tibbs, honestly. So the other two guys, Harrison and Hicks, have potential. But it makes me cringe because it's like, oh, we're going to fix them. We'll fix them. Come over here. We'll fix them.
They thought they could fix Priester and then traded him for.
Right. And the Hicks thing, I mean, that's the example of it. I said this. The Red Sox thought they had Jordan Hicks. Like, when they went to bed the day before he signed with the Giants. To do exactly what the Giants did, to make him a starter. And he signs for the Giants. What that tells me is that they really are sort of obsessed with Jordan Hicks, so they put him in. All right, fine. You know, you like Harrison, that's fine. But this isn't – let's make no mistake about it, guys. This was going around and saying to ownership groups, who's willing to take on the Rafael Devers money? You know?
So, okay, Bradfo, we were just trying to – figure out who deserves the most blame. And I'll speak for myself. My first guess is ownership. And you kind of alluded to that just now. It was a combination of the money and then, you know, the falling out, the fractured relationship. Is that fair? Because I just don't think, I can't fathom Craig Breslow willingly being like, this is what I want to do.
Well, I mean, it's, why? I don't understand. Why is it the ownership?
Because ownership was upset with Devers / didn't like the contract.
I think Breslow was upset with Devers. Devers was the one who called out Breslow. Well, Devers basically publicly, you know, like denigrated his boss.
Now you have me shifting back to Breslow. I can't decide who to blame. This is so frustrating. Like, I go back and forth.
Here's the thing, guys. The point where we have to look back at is the flight to Kansas City.
Yep.
Like, we can litigate the entire other stuff, which he's done a million times. But if we want to talk about how we got to this point, go to Kansas City. The day before, Rafael Devers gets up, rips his boss, Craig Breslow, necessitates John Henry fueling up the jet, flying to Kansas City, having the meeting with Alex Cora, with Rafael Devers. All well and good. Oh, they're being proactive, whatever. But fellas, here's the thing. Nothing came of it.
Yep.
Nothing. We saw no tangible differences in how Rafael Devers acted. He didn't go pick up a first baseman's glove. They said it was a productive meeting. We had no quotes from anybody to tell you exactly how that was productive. And you know what? We know it wasn't that productive. You know how I know? Because he was just traded.
Rob, so we were talking about how the roster construction, not only for this year, but moving forward, is just like this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of moves to come to actually shake out these log jams. You, right here, right now, they just saved $250 million if you want to spin it that way. The odds of Bregman staying here, hurt, unchanged, or increased?
Increased.
Okay, I thought the same. Why do you think that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a, you know, there's a million different pieces of this whole equation, but one of them is the Bregman situation. I mean, guys, I think, I don't even know if we talked about it, but the way that it was going, when Alex, that opt-out came around, how would Alex Bregman, how, it didn't make no sense that Alex Bregman say, oh yeah, let me come back for the chaos. You know, let me come back with Rafael Devers and you haven't, you're still trying to figure it out. Like, that made no sense to me. That was definitely not a good thing for the Boston Red Sox. But with this, it was like, you're free of that. You know, you the runway's clear for Alex Bregman to be the guy. And I think absolutely. I mean, they won't say that. They'll suggest the opposite. They'll be like, oh, you know. And another thing I want to ask you guys, I don't know if you've talked about it, is what is going to be the reaction from the players, from the clubhouse? Mm-hmm. And I gave the analogy, like you actually have after the 2022 trade deadline, you had Xander Bogaerts overtly being pissed off, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Will you have anything along those lines? I don't think you will.
It's tough because like you mean, what guy is like, what is, who's the grizzled vet that's comfortable doing that is the issue. Because I think a trade like this welcomes criticism like that, but Bregman's not there and he's not going to say like, he knows better than to say anything like that. Even if he was, who out there is going to be like, no, fuck this shit. Like who out there has a history of doing that? Like I'm trying to, because
I don't think anyone, Gordo, I don't think anyone.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I think internally maybe there'll be some unhappy players, but I don't think anyone's going to come out and say that they're upset. I think it's going to be more of a quiet thing.
That there's some, and this is one of the things that, you know, was a slippery slope when it came to Devers, where you had some guys probably looking up to him, right? Rafaela or Willie Abreu, these guys, they probably looked up to him. And the organization said, well, you know, this isn't a great thing that the guy that these guys are looking up to is taking this tact when it comes to not helping the team. But I would imagine that those guys are the guys that we're talking about. Those guys probably aren't happy. Those guys were his proteges.
But are they going to speak up?
No, but they're not. But that's my point. I don't think they're going to say anything about it.
But there's going to be a lot of unhappy campers. Like, come on. Like, you win 8 out of 10 games, and you got to be feeling pretty good about yourselves and feeling like you jump right back in this race and they trade your best hitter. Like, these guys are going to be pissed, whether they say it or not.
This West Coast trip is going to be so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because if it went the other way with Devers on the team, it'd be like, oh, well, you know, they're just an up-and-down team. Now, if it goes the other way with Devers on the team, it's going to be like, Craig Breslow, you really screwed up.
Yeah, and they're facing two really good pitching staffs right off the bat. Wonderful. In big pitchers' ballparks. So...
And they have to face Rafael Devers this weekend.
Yeah, great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want him to like do well against the Red Sox or not. I'm kind of undecided on that.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is all of a sudden you really need Roman Anthony to be good. You really need Yoshida to come back. You know, obviously you need Marcelo Meyer to be better. You need Store to be as good as he was. You need everybody. Like, wait, this Rob, is the thing. Rob.
We didn't talk about that. We barely talked about it at all. Masig, grab a bat, man. Like, yeah. Masig's coming back.
He is coming back.
That's going to be the most unceremonious return of all
like,
time.
This is like, you guys weren't even bored. This is like when Jose Offerman replaced Mo Vaughn.
Ugh. Do you think he's activated this week?
Nah, he'll go on a rehab.
Yeah, I can't. He's been taking BP, he has to go on a rehab.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe when they get back to Fenway, Pat,
Maybe what an absolute nightmare, dude. What an absolute nightmare. Devers is gone, but here's your 5'8" DH who's going to hit a ground ball to second and not run it out.
Weren't you guys supposed to do a Rafael Devers podcast with him tomorrow?
Yeah, he was so excited. He kept saying, "I can't wait. I love you guys, and I can't wait to have a long-term relationship with you guys in the show."
And now he's not like, "I know I don't love speaking English to the media. I always get to do the translations, but I am going to come out and speak English on Play Tessie as a primary and just as an homage to you guys because I love you guys so much."
Did you see the video of him returning to Fenway in the cab?
Yeah. Imagine being the cab driver. I got such a scoop.
Why a cab? Can't you Uber or Lyft?
John Henry probably paid for it. He probably has no clue what Uber is. God, I'm so upset.
How do I turn this TV off back here?
I'm gonna be staying up till 1 a.m. every night this coming week, just livid, furious, watching this team.
Pitching?
Who are they playing this week?
Oh, the Giants. Let's see. I'll figure it out.
Dodgers tonight. I don't know who after
just
that.
They've
got the Guardians in San Francisco. How poor Rafi has to go. I mean, not poor Rafi because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's happy about it. But left-handed hitters in San Francisco, not the best. I mean, he's
not a great hitter. Do they play Thursday?
The Giants?
They must not, right?
Let me check.
Well, I asked that because that's an off day, right, for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is media planning where everyone, descends on San Francisco a day early.
What's today's date? They play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, so they have a 4-game series?
No, they're off to the Giants are off on Monday.
Okay,
they play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Their Thursday game's at 4:00 our time, 1:00 their time.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
people keep asking how did the Red Sox not get Eldridge in the deal? Because the Giants are eating all the money.
Oh yeah, people are pissed about the return. Like we talked about the under potential. Like Jeff Passan labeled the contract as underwater. I mean, the Red Sox gave Devers what at the time his market value contract is, and he's since become a DH. Like if you're going to offload all the money, you can't expect to get elite talent back. Like
this is how it works, right? If you want to pay down on some of the contract, you get better players.
Yep.
This is so frustrating because I feel like we're never, ever, ever going to get concrete details. We're never going to know how badly Devers wanted out. We're never going to know how badly Breslow wanted him out. We're never going to know ownership's involvement. It's going to be all this hearsay.
Wait, and I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life. What more evidence?
They're going to smear campaign the shit out of this.
They already are.
My biggest fear right now is that John Henry is now turned off from big contracts. That would be the nail in my proverbial coffin. If this now spurs him from never signing a long-term contract ever again.
We just gave one to some friggin' soccer player that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You think there's a connection? They traded Devers so they could sign Soccer Johnny?
Yeah.
And they're
selling the Penguins.
I do have a couple Soccer Johnny shirts, so I hope so. There we go.
I hate soccer. I hate that sport with every fiber of my being. Now I hate it even more.
You hate soccer, but you love Soccer Johnny.
I like Soccer Johnny. I don't really know who that is, but I'm a fan. I'm fired up to watch this 30-second thank you, Devers video.
For who? From the Red Sox?
Yes. Yeah, 30-second video.
Hey, baseball.
Oh, sigh.
I love our lives.
Yeah. It was amazing being on the radio. It was a tidal wave of calls, and they were all over the place.
I can't get behind anyone who's saying good riddance. Like enjoy this offense, man, if you're going to say good riddance. Yeah. Dude, enjoy that's crazy. What we're about to see as these kids adjust to life as a big leaguer and have to work through struggles, as we've seen Christian Campbell do. And Roman Anthony, I mean, we all think he's going to be great. 15 or 16 right now?
Well, that's the thing is that it was actually like what I had said about the, and we talked about the possibility of Roman Anthony being sent down, that seemed to be trending that way, right?
Not until anymore. Now.
Because
give these guys a runway. Guys, it's a developmental year, Rob.
Ultimately, you know, when you looked at Roman Anthony, right, he's going to be a great player. But right now, who is a better player, Willie Abreu or Roman Anthony? Willie Abreu's a better player.
Yeah.
So
yes,
but they, boy, they need Roman Anthony now.
They need Roman. They need Marcelo. They need Story. They need everything. They needed everything to go right, even with Devers.
I hate this. This is one of the worst days of my Red Sox fandom life, I think.
One of the last callers called it the Father's Day Massacre.
Happy Father's Day.
Father's Day of all time. Worst Father's Day in the history of Father's Day. The Red Sox are dead. Devers is gone. And nobody's happy. We're all depressed. I'm going to not be able to sleep for probably 2 days. I won't sleep. I'm not even joking. I'm not going to sleep or eat for 2 days because my body won't let me.
Woo! I mean, they just swept the Yankees, though, man.
I could not give less of a fuck if I tried right now.
But they've won five in a row, dude.
Yay! They got Kyle Harrison.
Rob,
yeah, that's the vibe.
Do you think this opens the floodgates to sell?
No, it's two different the conversations.
Team or to sell pieces or to sell the literal team?
No, this is pieces. No, okay. this is still, you see where you land at the deadline. I don't buy that part of it. I think it's two different things. I do. That mean this isn't. Nah.
Well, no. I think you could make the argument that it does, because how are they going to keep their head above water for 3+ weeks until Alex Bregman comes back, and even when he comes back,
like, because they,
how is the team going to hit?
Well,
they're not going to hit.
Rafael Devers hasn't been great lately.
Yeah, and neither has the offense. They've been winning with pitching.
Right? No, I'm not going to argue that they don't need Devers. But I just think it'll be really interesting if they can. So it'll be interesting to see Alex Cora, how he bobs and weaves his way through these lineups.
Yeah, I mean, we saw all weekend Ref Snyder, Romy, and Narvaez be like in your top four. Now the one guy that was in there that wasn't one of these guys that you didn't even expect to be in the lineup most of the time. Now Devers is out of there, so their top four, it's going to be like. My God.
I don't even know.
Who's hitting second behind Duran?
Fucking Duran. Knows, man. I don't know. Bregman. Probably Bregman second now when he comes back.
Well, he's not here.
When he's back? Oh, well, he's not here? I don't know. It's someone who's not as good as Devers.
Seriously, who is the two-hitter in game one against Logan Gilbert?
Logan Gilbert?
Is Romy? It Babraham Thor?
No, Romy's not going to play.
Righty.
Roman Anthony.
Roman or Marcelo, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Godspeed, Alex Cora.
Is the Narv now the best hitter in the lineup hitting two?
They're going to trade the Narv for prospects.
The Narv costs too much money.
It is striking the return they got for Rafael Devers. When I'm writing this story, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I know Harrison. I know Kyle Harrison. Oh, yeah, you know, Jordan Hicks. He was good last year and everything. And then I'm like, holy mackerel, they've been terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
I feel bad for these kids. I was just saying to Gordo, Bradford, before you joined us, I was saying to Gordo and Pat, I feel awful for all the guys coming over to Boston from the Giants, because they're never going to be able to escape this. It's going to be their whole career as long as they're with the Red Sox.
To me, the most interesting one is the first rounder from last year, but he's in high A.
They just assigned him to double A. So he'll be here in 2 years, not 3 years.
Okay.
Oh, let's go, dude.
All right, guys. I got to get us out of here. We've been on for a while. Rob, I appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Guys, I mean, We'll see where this goes. I mean, Pat, we were just at Fenway Park yesterday and vibes were good. Everyone was happy. Like
the vibes have never been so high. Like every guy we talked to on the field yesterday was like so chipper, in such a good mood. The stadium was going crazy. The crowd was awesome. The
crowd vibe has been great.
It was kick in the nut sack today.
And now all those people are probably Googling, when does the Patriots start? How great is that? Thanks, Red Sox. Exactly what
It'll be a fun week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait.
Yeah. All right. Fun.
We appreciate you guys tuning in. We will have more for you this week. We'll break everything down. We'll have it all. Play Tessie. Like, you can check out on the season if you want. We are going to be there for you guys if you don't. So appreciate you tuning in. Episode 225. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel and subscribe there as well. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos in the Play Tessie playlist there. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And then all of those things I just said, do it with Baseball Isn't Boring Too with Brad Foe. Tons of content coming out of there. He'll have you covered. Brad, when's your flight to Seattle? Are you on a red eye or something?
Red eyes go the other way.
Oh, so wait, you're just like going on an overnight flight?
No, I'm.
He's flying out in the morning.
My flight is at 7:15 a.m.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
But
just
I still have to. I'm recording a podcast with Sam Dykstra to talk about the prospect that the Red Sox got back.
Ugh.
And then I'm also writing now an extensive column for WEI.com. So
I got your work cut out.
I respect
you.
That so much, Brad. I could not do that podcast. I don't know how you do it.
Well,
I would be so furious.
All roads lead to me spending an extra $100 for this window seat.
You should. It's a long flight. Do you sleep on flights? You sleeper on a plane?
Only if I get the window.
All right, do it. You got to do it.
Yeah. Melatonin, here we come.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this one, and we'll talk Rafael Devers and all the games he has left to play for the Red Sox in the coming podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. Thanks. Peace.